Hey y'all. So when it comes to bodies, weight loss is not really something that I'm pursuing right now. But as you know, one of Vanessa's family members has been taking a GLP-1 medication, and it's worked really well for him. So if that is part of your journey, you should check out the Row Body Program. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Row's partner handles all the insurance paperwork to help get the medication covered. If eligible for medication, patients have access to their provider on demand for any questions. Go to ro.co/infamous. Sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/infamous.
Campsite Media.
This episode is intended for mature audiences.
So while there was all this craziness with Joe Francis in Panama City Beach, there was one man watching carefully. He was a defender of the town.
I was the mayor of Whoville from 2000, protecting, if I may say, all the little Whos.
Mayor Lee Sullivan wasn't just a politician. He'd had a long career in law enforcement.
My last tour of duty was as chief of police, Panama City Beach. They had encouraged me to retire so they could get a kinder, gentler police chief. I took my retirement in 1997, and then I ran against the mayor that encouraged me to leave. So I replaced the asshole who replaced me.
Fair enough. That seems fair enough.
Mayor Lee is the kind of guy who's always sure he's right. And he really liked getting rid of things. He's very well known for his campaign against crawfish.
The state of Florida decided that this specific crawfish was an endangered species crawfish. If this crawdad was on your property, basically you just needed to kill yourself because you couldn't do anything with your property anymore.
Here he is on a local TV program during his election campaign.
We're going to spend a lot of money and people will have jobs, government jobs, to save this thing. Lord knows I'd have been in prison when I was a youngin'. There's no telling what we did to them.
Mayor Lee wanted to blast those crawdads off the face of the earth.
I was encouraging him to fill it up. Okay, put dirt in it. Kill the crawdad.
And now he was planning to do the same to Joe Francis. From Campside Media and Sony Music Entertainment, I'm Vanessa Grigoriadis, and this is Infamous. You're listening to episode 2 of our 5-part series, Boy Gone Wild.
Join us as we make the rounds with sorority girls, college cuties, and the girl next door. Beautiful, real college girls, unbuttoned and out of control.
So when we left off last time, 2002, I'd just seen Joe Francis get arrested. We were at the Holiday Inn in Panama City Beach. Reminder, you're sometimes hearing an actor play Joe Francis.
Next time I come to town, I want this hotel renamed the Joe Francis Holiday Inn.
I met up with Joe again the next morning. He looked tired, but he was otherwise his usual arrogant self.
They made me fill out a questionnaire where I had to check off what kind of car I had. I was like, is there a box to check for a plane?
This time, we're going to find out what happened the following year when I wasn't there. And remember, more recently, Joe issued a blanket denial to all the questions I asked him. So we're not hearing his side of the story.
He felt like he had found the promised land. He had found fertile ground. And so the next year, here come JoJo with his jet and his motorhome and all his minions.
Joe not only decided to return to Panama City Beach, he returned full force. And Mayor Lee was not okay with this.
Now, we had LaVila and we had Spinnaker, and if you wanted to see boobies, you could go down there and the girls were having wet t-shirt contests and showing boobies and everything was good. And that was all right because they had to be 18 to enter. But that wasn't good enough for Joe, don't you know?
I don't think Joe has anything to do with the Holiday Inn this time, but pretty much everything is the same. There's shooters, there are girls, there's filming. And obviously, Mayor Lee doesn't like this filming, particularly on his roads. You weren't supposed to drink on them, and you definitely weren't supposed to have a peep show.
You couldn't, like, have prayer along the road, but you could have choir practice.
But as we know, Joe had a defense for that.
He was filming a documentary. He espoused that he had protected constitutionality because he was doing a documentary on women's breasts, which he would film and turn into videos and sell and make goblets of money.
I pressed Lee on whether this defense was actually a good one, because maybe this was protected under the law. You know, we've got the First Amendment. Joe even filed a lawsuit to stop anyone interfering with his efforts to film a spring break documentary.
I sue the officials, the mayor, the sheriff, the chief of police, the city, personally in federal court in Tallahassee, okay? I win forcing them to back down.
But this lawsuit just made Mayor Lee even angrier.
Now, I'm going to tell you, we don't have people walking around naked over here. Not even now, in this age of enlightenment. We don't have that. But when you have a minion go up there and tell them they're going to get this really great t-shirt to expose their breasts, you know, and then if you can kiss each other, give it a little tongue work with your buddy girl there, you know. And so, just soft porn.
What about bringing the money? I mean, the more people know Panama City Beach is the spot for Girls Gone Wild, the more they want to come there, the more they want to spend their money in town.
Nobody wants that. Maybe the Holiday Inn, maybe some, you know, I mean, the people that peddle the offside of that, they might have got upset.
So, but he says you guys targeted him, right? He says,
Yes.
they were running after us. They were surveilling us. They were,
yes.
You know.
Yes. Oh, he's got it. He's got it right. He wanted attention. We gave him attention.
God.
Okay, here's what happened. Panama City Beach began to zero in on Joe Francis. They did it publicly. I mean, Mayor Lee is not exactly a shrinking violet. In fact, Joe Francis and Mayor Lee even went on Greta Van Susteren to debate each other.
Mr. Mayor, we are not doing anything illegal. My cameraman and myself will not be pushed around by a local tyrant or a city police who barely won an election by 90 votes.
Mayor Lee responded, it was 7 votes, if Joe could count that high. But Joe had some t-shirts printed up.
He was wearing a Joe Francis for Mayor t-shirt. And I said, you know, pretty boy, I said, some things you wear around here cause you to get your ass beat. I said, because I'll snatch a knot in your ass that'll take you 3 days to untie.
So during spring break 2003, many, many officers and folks in the sheriff's department were on Joe's case. They'd ride on bikes and circle Girls Gone Wild photographers when they were shooting. They even sent a helicopter to sort of hover over the Girls Gone Wild beach house. And Joe was just defiant. This is a recording of a Girls Gone Wild event at a large outdoor theater.
And you know what? The powers that be tried to put the kibosh on Girls Gone Wild in Panama City. But Girls Gone Wild is bigger than that. Much, much bigger than that.
Yes.
So right now, let's bring out the founder and CEO of Girls Gone Wild. Please welcome Joe Francis.
It's Texas, and Joe runs on stage, almost doing the Nixon thing. He's lifting his arms up as high as he can.
You know, it's good to be you, my friend. Now, real quick, I just mentioned in Panama City, they tried to shut you down, but you did not let that happen.
No way. We're coming from Panama City tonight, and you know what? They can come arrest us. We don't care. Come get us. Girls will be naked in Panama City tonight.
So who is going to be victorious in this battle of wills? Joe Francis or Mayor Lee? More after the break.
Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. All the meals are chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, they're always fresh, never frozen, and unbelievably, they're ready to go in just 2 minutes. You've got more than 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. That's not including any of the 60-plus add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long. Factor meals are ready to heat and eat, so there's no prepping, cooking, or cleanup needed. That's right, no dishes. And they're flexible for your schedule. Get as much or as little as you need by choosing your meals every week. Plus, you can pause or reschedule your deliveries anytime, like if you decide to go on vacation or something. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and get after your goals. Head to factormeals.com/infamous50 and use code infamous50 to get 50% off. That's code infamous50 at factormeals.com/infamous50 to get 50% off. I've always struggled with finding time to manage my finances. At the end of a busy week, the last thing I want to do is spend time budgeting all of my expenses or tracking down customer service teams to cancel old subscriptions I no longer use. But now I use Rocket Money, and it does all that for me. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions and a clear view of my expenses. I can see all my subscriptions in one place, and if I see something I don't want, Rocket Money can help me cancel it with just a few taps. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/infamous. That's rocketmoney.com/infamous. rocketmoney.com/infamous.
You're listening to Infamous from Campside Media.
So when we left off, we were in Panama City Beach, and tensions were ramping between Mayor Lee and Joe Francis, founder of Girls Gone Wild.
And watch what good girls do when they go wild. If you're
over 18, they finally went toe-to-toe on April 2nd, 2003. Adam Buff worked in a special investigations unit for the sheriff. He was looking into controlled narcotics and prostitution cases.
And so your nickname is Buffy? I guess it's because you're 6'6".
Yeah, well, 6'8", but yeah, same thing. If they use that terminology, just I guess because maybe I make them uncomfortable because I'm a big guy. But that's why I take it as a grain of salt. I don't ever think of it as derogatory. It's just terms of endearment.
Adam Buff, a.k.a. Buffy, was one of the guys on Joe Francis's case.
I mean, what was the sort of word that went out? Like, 2003, he's been arrested the year before.
Right.
Right. And now he's back, and he's printed up shirts like, I'm the mayor of Panama City, and he's ready to do whatever he wants.
They had a beach house, but it was on the water. They had a lot of open house parties there. We did a lot of surveillance work on it and, trying to get a handle on what exactly was going on there. Because we just, like everybody else had heard rumors and we're trying to substantiate stuff to see if there was a reason to move forward or if not.
There was. This was the beginning of Mayor Lee's moment. And it all started with a group of teenage girls. They were probably doing what teenage girls on spring break do. Blasting music, singing along, maybe some backseat dancing. And then all of a sudden, there's a van in front of them. It's the Girls Gone Wild van. And then the cars pull into the parking lot of a gas station, and everybody's talking.
And these girls here in Panama City Beach are going wilder by the minute. Sweetheart, what's your name, sweetie?
I'm Geraldine.
Geraldine, you know what? We're in Panama City. We're in Florida. This is Girls Gone Wild. Let me see you girls do something wild.
Okay, that's not the actual audio, but you get the drift. And as usual, the guy from Girls Gone Wild has a suggestion. I want to make clear that the dialogue in this upcoming scene is imagined, even though the action comes from court documents and a book. Maybe, he says, that they should go over to the Chateau Motel and just film a little something. So they go over there, to a three-story motel, sort of sandy yellow color, and they walk up to room 320, $90 a night. White sheets that you don't want to look at too closely.
Say, why don't you two get in the shower? All right, you two, come over here.
So allegedly, and Joe disputes this, the friends not in the shower sit in the other room. They probably feel sort of awkward listening to softcore porn happening in a bathroom. But something even stranger is about to happen. The founder of Girls Gone Wild has entered the building.
Hey, I'm Joe Francis.
One of them didn't want to. She said she wanted to leave, and according to a book by a former Girls Gone Wild employee, she did. So I imagine the two remaining girls looking at each other, just feeling so weird. Maybe they should go into the other room? In fact, allegedly, Joe is leading them into the other room right now.
Come on, sit down over here.
He gestures to the bed next to him, and once again, he takes their hands. Now, you can probably imagine what happens next. When Joe finishes, one woman stands up and she throws him a towel. They may be feeling weird, and perhaps to make them feel better, I guess Joe then pulls out a wad of money, and he throws it.
You want to go for a ride in my Ferrari?
But it doesn't end there. After driving around for a bit, they go back to the motel. One of the girls walks around the back, and there's a camera crew waiting. It may have gone something like this.
All right, sweetie, let's have you flash for the cameras. All right, there we go.
He captures her on camera. It's all on tape. And all of these girls are underage. Joe Francis doesn't know it yet, but this day is about to change everything. More after the break.
Back in the 90s, Pepsi and Coca-Cola were in a heated race to try and win loyal customers by any means necessary. But when Pepsi launched an ambitious promotion that encouraged people to buy Pepsi and redeem points for prizes, they overlooked their own fine print in a major way. On each episode of Wondery's podcast, The Big Flop, comedians join host Misha Brown to chronicle one of the biggest pop culture fails of all time and try to answer the age-old question. Who thought this was a good idea? Like, who at Pepsi thought it would be a good idea to advertise that people could earn enough points to redeem a military jet as a prize? When they launched their Pepsi points system, they never imagined somebody might actually try to snag it. But a 23-year-old did, and suddenly, Pepsi owed him a jet. Follow The Big Flop on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Big Flop early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. Anybody who has a sibling knows that sibling fights are unavoidable. But what if every fight you had was under a microscope, on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince Harry and Prince William. They'd been each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother. But that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties. Wondery's podcast, Disentel, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started. It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle? Or was it something that began much earlier? Follow Disentel on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Infamous from Campside Media.
Okay. So it's April 2nd, 2003. Buffy, Adam Buff, he's staked outside of Joe Francis's condo.
I saw his Ferrari pull into the Prince's condo. out there.
Buff calls it in and waits for orders from his superior.
They told me to take him into custody. I pulled up in my vehicle. I was in plain clothes. I had a badge around my neck.
Now, remember, Buffy is a kind of intimidating presence. He's 6'6", 6'8", whatever. And at this point, Joe's just got back from the gym. He's just wearing a t-shirt, baseball cap.
He was standing in the underneath of the building where the elevators are. And as I started getting closer and closer to him, he kind of just started sizing me up and I guess figured that I was probably a cop. And he turned to take off running. Told him to stop. He never stopped, so I had to wrestle him to the ground.
What the fuck is going on? What are you doing? Why are you putting handcuffs on me?
I handcuffed him, stood him up, walked him over to the front of my vehicle, and waited for my supervisor to get here.
Remember how I said that Joe is kind of like a guy who snaps at a waiter? Joe right now is in that headspace, and he's asking questions of everyone who's arriving on the scene.
So he just wanted to know why he was being arrested, right?
Yes, yes, ma'am.
Then, that afternoon, Buff was sent to search Joe's private jet.
I actually utilized my canine partner to do an open-air search on his plane that was parked at the airport.
So you got a dog outside of a plane just sniffing around.
The dog did alert to the presence of narcotics in that aircraft. A search warrant was executed. Drug paraphernalia and drug residue was found on the plane. It was, in my opinion, personal use.
So not enough to get Joe for intent to distribute or anything like that.
It wasn't damning evidence.
None of it felt like enough to pin Joe down for anything serious. But they also searched Joe's condo. This is what Ryan Simkin, who used to work for Girls Gone Wild, says happened in his book. He says that when the officers went inside, they got those t-shirts that said Joe Francis for Panama City Beach Mayor. They also got 175 hours of uncut footage. And Joe had just turned 30, right? So they got some birthday cards. The shooters wrote things like, "Joe, celebrate your 30s with a couple of 15s. Or, "Hey, Joe, make sure she's 18 tonight, would ya?" Joe was charged with a whole slew of felonies.
And I have never even had much less a traffic ticket in my whole life, okay? They charged me with 71 felonies, totaling 335 years in prison, from everything from racketeering to drug trafficking. They seized my plane, okay?
Here's former mayor Lee Sullivan.
Lady, when you flush the Joe Francis toilet, there's just all kinds of stains left in the toilet. It's just, listen, once he started swirling around and around and going down, it's just nothing for him to hold on to. just a filthy little shit that he was.
He was in jail now with the photographers, and he told one of them, "Give me your jacket. I'm cold." This is according to a book. And the guy said, "No way, man. I don't work for you in here." Prison, the great equalizer. Except it wasn't so equal after all. Since Joe bailed out and soon headed back to LA. Plus all those charges he had, come on, man. It didn't seem like those were gonna stick. Adam Buff again.
Yeah, they threw a lot at him. They charged him with what they charged him with, and through all the litigation, and most of that got dismissed.
But it still cost me $1.5 million in legal fees to fight them, to win that plane back, that 90 days later, the judge turned it over and said, there's no cocaine. They admitted lying about that.
Yeah, it was lots of charges and not a lot of Joe answering to them. Joe sort of snatched victory from defeat. And that's because he had a lot of money to pay some really great lawyers. Girls Gone Wild was flush with cash.
In 2001, they had 83 different titles for Girls Gone Wild DVDs and sold 4.5 million copies. In 2003, they spent $21 million on advertising. They were making five times as much on sales.
And it wasn't just because of everybody's appetite for soft porn. Joe had a unique business model, and that model was essentially, don't pay the talent. Here's one of the lawyers for a woman who was filmed.
I've got a profit and loss statement on that 2003 first quarter. Mantra Films paid their legal team $198,000. And under the talent listing, it said $3,000. It was built into the Girls Gone Wild business plan to pay the talent next to nothing or not pay talent at all and simply wait for someone to have the courage to bring a lawsuit and then simply defend against that.
As Joe was using his money to fight the felony charges in Florida, he only became more successful. Now it's 2004, and he's living like a king in LA on a huge house on a hill, Bel Air. He may be young, but he's rich. Nightclubs, girls, money, he's just out on the Hollywood scene. He's hosting parties attended by those celebrities of the 2000s, like MTV's Carson Daly.
I thought it was the Girls Don't Ever Go Wild party.
Actor Pauly Shore.
Yo, what's up? This is Pauly.
He's friends with the Kardashians.
Joe Francis, where are you, honey?
Here he is on the phone with Kris Jenner. It's season one of Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Well, we launched the line, the new Ashley page for Girls Gone Wild Swimwear. And I want the girls to possibly be the spokesmodels.
Oh, wow.
Joe becomes a plot point on the show. The Kardashians fly down to Mexico to shoot a bikini campaign for him.
Joe Francis has the most beautiful airplane.
Point is, Joe is very much a man about town. Paparazzi at TMZ would go up to him outside clubs, just shoot the shit.
Did you hear about Madonna has a song on her new record?
I did hear that. Madonna's
Girls
new song
Gone Wild.
Is Girls Gone Wild, right?
How do you feel
Madonna's
about that?
New hit song. I'm excited about that.
At nightclubs, all sorts of people mix, right? You've got A-list stars, gorgeous kids who are trying to make it as actors, rap heavies, and gangsters. And so even though Mayor Lee and Buffy had backed off Joe for the moment, someone else had his eye on him. You've actually heard from him before.
Being around town, involved in underworld behavior since a teen, folks knew me. I knew any and everyone that was needed to know to be in the hot spots.
Riley Perez, who you heard from at the top of the last episode, he's at the clubs too. I'm talking about LA clubs where celebrities would go to see and be seen.
Paris Nikki, Tara Reid, she was still a young commodity and, you know, bankable in films. Leo DiCaprio, Tobey Maguire.
Let me tell you what Riley looks like. He's about 5'9", built like a boxer. He sort of looks like The Rock. Could be Hispanic, Arab, actually a black Cuban. He's good looking. And he was a known commodity around town, kind of like Joe. Sometimes he's seeing Joe Francis at the clubs, too.
He was, you know, in the media looked at as the next Hugh Hefner because he seems like he had caught lightning in a bottle. He'd hang out. I'd see him at the club. You'd see him at a restaurant. He'd come by my buddy's gym.
Riley says he was running books at the time. And after nights out, Joe keeps the party going at his place in Bel Air.
He would round up enough folks to get them back to his place for after hours because he's trying to let folks know, you know, I'm the man. I'm the man here. I'm the go-to man. Everyone's going to take the free goodies, the alcohol, and a place to hang out and party and rub elbows and exchange lies.
That's just Riley's opinion, of course. But in terms of what would happen next, it mattered a lot.
I had already been a part of a couple clubs, you know, behind the scenes, where I was on the off-the-books payroll. I'll get my payment in the brown bags, and I always got a table there.
Riley knew all these folks because he was good-looking, because he was in the mix, and yet he was also a criminal. And now he was going to do something very off the books regarding Joe Francis. That's next time on Infamous.
Sometimes your mouth will take your ass on a journey you just didn't plan on.
Wealthy people don't kidnap people and bring them to a party with, 30, 40 people. That's all I have to say.
He knows that if I wanted to kill him, it would have already been done.
Infamous is a production of Campside Media and Sony Music Entertainment. It's created, executive produced, and hosted by me, Vanessa Gregoriadis, and Gabriel Sherman. Shoshish Malevitz is our managing producer and editor. Rajiv Gola is our senior producer. And Lily Houston Smith, Garrett Graham, and Grace Heerman are our associate producers. This episode of Boy Gone Wild was written for audio by Natalie Robomed and me. It was sound designed by Alistair Sherman, mixed by David Devereaux, and recorded by Ewan Lai Trimouin. John Daly is the voice of Joe Francis. The scene in the Chateau Motel is a dramatic reenactment. Campside Media's executive producers are Josh Dean, Adam Hoff, Matt Scherer, and myself. Thanks to PJ Vogt and to Campside's operations team, Doug Slaywin, Aaliyah Papes, and Destiny Dingle. If you're enjoying learning about Girls Gone Wild, please rate and review the show. It is so helpful. See you next week.